December 4th, 2023, meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Bays, could you please call the roll?
Yes, trustee David.
Present.
Trustee Elam.
Present.
Trustee Chiara.
Present.
Trustee Timms.
Present.
Trustee Watkins.
Present.
And Chair Zop.
Present. A quorum exists for business of the board to begin. Ms. Bays, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair Zop, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings, and online.
All right. We'll go to the approval of the board agenda. Are there any comments or corrections? If not, I move to approve the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Then we will go to public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics: issues under negotiations as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyle, or beliefs of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees, or any personnel matters. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes. The board will call speakers who have signed up to speak prior to the meeting. Ms. Bates, do we have anybody signed up? I probably should start with that.
There are none. No one signed up at this time.
Fine. Then we will move on to approval of the minutes. So in your board materials were approval for the minutes from September 18th, 2023. I move to approve those minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll, please? And this is for approval of the minutes from September 18th, 2023 meeting.
Yes, trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Elam.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zop.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. And we will now move on to President Scott's report.
Good morning, Chair Zop and members of the Board of Trustees. I hope that each of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I would like to welcome you to campus for our final board meeting of 2023, and I'm pleased to update you on recent university activities. Chicago State continues to lead at the forefront nationally and here in Illinois on moving equity in education forward. 5 years ago, CSU embarked on a mission to advance the recognition and support of U.S. Department of Education designated predominantly black institutions, many of whom are in Illinois, but also in Georgia and New York State. This work has required skillful awareness and navigation between various political stakeholders, education advocates, and government officials. In many ways, Chicago State has been the proud face and a national face of PBIs, as demonstrated by a campus visit from U.S. Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona. In our recent hosting of the second annual PBI DC fly-in last month. In addition to increased recognition and attention for our work, our work has also led to tangible results for PBIs, including increased funding in the federal budget. I'm now pleased to share that our leadership of the Coalition of Predominantly Black Institutions nationally has culminated into the formation of the Congressional PBI Caucus. Founded this fall by home district representative Jonathan Jackson, CSU alum Representative Danny K. Davis, CSU champion Representative Robin Kelly, and Reverend Senator Yvette Clark from New York. This caucus will lift up the importance of PBI institutions within Congress to increase support for black students in higher education across the nation. We are very proud of how far we have been able to move the needle by minority-serving institutions. Here in Illinois, our public university leaders are committed to more inclusive and equitable education systems across all facets. At CSU in October, we hosted our inaugural State of Equity in Higher Education Conference, sponsored by CSU's Illinois Center for Education Equity. This center will address, among other things, the current crisis in black student enrollment by connecting black communities to college degrees through research, policy, and practice driven by diverse stakeholders. Our conference included panels with current college students, and local and national experts in higher education. Our continued work to advance education equity has brought many allies to the table, as Southern Illinois University System President Dan Mahoney provided remarks during the conference, along with Illinois Board of Higher Education Executive Director Ginger Ostro, who delivered the keynote address. We are also focused on our government officials to ensure our success as a public institution. In October, Illinois State Senator Mike Halpin, who co-chairs the Senate Higher Education Committee, visited Chicago State as part of his statewide tour of public universities. We provided a comprehensive introduction to CSU and a tour of our classrooms and laboratory space. And we are confident that the senator walked away more knowledgeable about our unique mission among our state's public university. In November, we were visited by new Deputy Mayor of Education, Jen Johnson, who also toured the campus, heard from students, and visited campus spaces. Additionally, I am currently serving a two-year term as the elected convener of the Public University Presidents and Chancellors, the collective group of leaders of the 12 Illinois public universities. Once a year, the convener speaks on behalf of the group before the Illinois Board of Higher Education, sharing areas of collaborative relation between our campuses and with other institutions such as community colleges. Our public universities provide tremendous economic and societal returns for Illinois and the communities that we serve all across the state. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the public universities to the IBHE board. CSU was also well represented at the Fall National Conference of the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, or ASCU, which was held this year in Chicago. Not only did I represent Chicago State by speaking on a panel on the topic of higher education and democracy, alongside the president and CEO of the Chicago Community Trust and others, our marching band was invited to perform in front of the member institutions and their college and university presidents from across the country. We proudly boasted our profile as the premier regional public university. This fall, I was invited to speak before the Argonne National Laboratories Board of Directors, highlighting the one-year anniversary of our research project launch. As you're aware, in September of last year, CSU hosted officials from the U.S. Department of Energy for the national announcement of $66 million in grant funding for development of new urban integrated field laboratories. This was a significant engagement from the U.S. Department of Energy for Chicago State, and we are proud to partner with Argonne National Laboratory on this project. Our project is devoted to advancing community-based research for urban communities such as Chicago's South Side. Partnering with national scientists allows our STEM faculty and students additional opportunities for participating in groundbreaking research in the area of climate change. Our next step will be to convene a focus group to review our STEM coursework to incorporate academic coursework on climate change. Sponsors of this focus group include ComEd and Argonne National Labs. Finally, in October, Chicago State launched our 95th Street Corridor Economic Development Plan. CSU is a proven anchor institution for rich economic development for Roseland and beyond. The release of our economic plan brings our campus mission out into the neighborhoods to explore what building a student and community center university village could look like. With the generous support of Chicago Community Trust and in partnership with the City of Chicago's Department of Planning and Development, we launched a 7-month study with substantial community input. We held public workshops that attracted over 200 participants and surveyed over 300 residents and key stakeholders. We have received resounding support for our leadership of this economic development opportunity. Our plan recognizes that Chicago State University is a catalyst of investment in Roseland and regional development. CSU is ready to anchor additional investment to provide desired amenities such as retail or entertainment to our local residents as we take the lead in revitalization of the far South Side. In closing, 2023 was a strong year for Chicago State University. We recently published our annual report. Hopefully you have received a copy highlighting all that we have been able to accomplish together as a campus community over the past year. I appreciate the board's guidance and support throughout our continued elevation as an institution. Thank you.
Thank you, President Scott. Any questions for President Scott? All right, you have been busy. Next we're moving on to university reports, and the first of those is academic and student affairs. I'm calling on Dr. Leslie Roundtree, our interim provost and senior vice president of academic and student affairs. Good morning, Dr. Roundtree.
Good morning, Chair Zopp and trustees.
Good morning.
This is the end of our fall semester, and this is the beginning of finals week, so it will be very quiet here this week. But we are looking forward to a successful end. I have quite a few action items, so I will proceed directly. First, I would like to introduce a resolution for Professor Emeritus for Dr. Patricia Steinhaus, Professor of Early Childhood Education. Professor Emeritus is given to professors who retired. Dr. Steinhaus left us in August, and she has met the criteria of contribution to the university, as she has been instrumental in setting up a lot of the gateway processes for early childhood, along with serving as Faculty Senate President during her tenure. She has been approved through her department's faculty, the chair, dean, and the provost and president's office. So I'd like to offer Dr. Patricia Steinhaus' resolution for Professor Emeritus.
Are there any questions for our Provost Roundtree about Dr. Steinhaus? All right, may I get a motion then, please?
I move to approve Professor Patricia Steinhaus as Professor Emeritus.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, Ms. Bates, will you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I'd like to move on then to a tenure resolution. Dr. Muhammad Salam joined us in June of this year as the chairperson for the Department of Computing, Math, Information Science, and Technology. He comes to us from Southern A&M University, where he has a distinguished record of scholarship and teaching. He has been reviewed by his department faculty, the dean, and provost and president in terms of his qualifications for tenure and for full professorship. So we would like to move forward on his resolution, and he's actually here today, so if he could just stand and be recognized, Dr. Salam. We'd like to move forward on his resolution for tenure and for full professor.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Dr. Salam. Is there any questions for Provost Roundtree? If not, may I have a motion to approve Dr. Salam's faculty tenure resolution?
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to move on
and
to...
And welcome, Dr. Salam. Congratulations.
Thank you all.
I'd like to move on to our Wellness Center contract with Advocate at Work. As you know, Advocate at Work has been providing our services for the Wellness Center, which is student health as well as campus public health initiatives. That contract, again, is renewable, and it is for over $342,000, We have been very pleased with the services of Advocate to this point and would like to continue this relationship. So given the size of the contract, we'd like to move it forward for approval.
Any questions for Dr. Roundtree? My only question is just a verification from either you or Robin that we've met all the requirements we need to meet for our procurement.
Yes, we have.
Okay, perfect. Now, in that case, may I have a motion to approve the resolution for the contract with Advocate on the Campus Wellness Center?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on now to our dual enrollment tuition resolution. As you may be aware, in 2019, we came to the board requesting to start a dual enrollment program as a pilot. That pilot was begun with great success. We had about 60 students that joined us that fall and proceeded into that spring. Unfortunately, that spring we ran into COVID. We were able to graduate those students at that time. When we initiated this project, we were working with the Chicago Public Schools and they had agreed to a tuition reduction initiative in which they were supporting the school, the students from the various schools. When we were able to resume dual enrollment again in 21, the Chicago Public Schools was no longer able to support this initiative with funding for tuition. And we were working with the individual schools and they were also unable to support the funding at the reduced tuition rate. However, we believe that this initiative is critical for our student success program as well as our strategic plan for enrollment. And so we are asking the board to eliminate the tuition requirement for dual enrollment as we are serving our neighborhood schools to advance college-going behavior. At this time, we are undertaking fundraising to support dual enrollment and have already had success with one donation from AT&T for over $40,000, as well as computers and laptops for all the students who are enrolled in dual enrollment. So we believe this initiative will be supported through philanthropic activities.
And right now, my understanding is you have about 100 students enrolled?
Yes. Since we were able to rebound in 21, we started with about 7, and we're up to about 100 now, in about 10 different schools.
Okay, that was my next question, how many schools? Any other questions for Dr. Roundtree on the dual enrollment? May I have a motion to approve the waiver of dual tuition for dual enrollment, and is this just CPS students, or is it all?
It would be all students because we also serve some students in the south suburbs who are joining us.
Got it. Okay. We have a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, sorry, will you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And our last resolution is regarding our learning management system. The university has been using the Moodle platform as its learning management system for a little over 10 years. It is an open access system and has limited resources. We feel as our online options have grown that we need a more sophisticated system. Therefore, our director of our Center for Teaching Research Excellence and Online Programs undertook a review of systems that could be used, and we, over the fall semester and the summer, we opened two well-known platforms to allow faculty to kind of play in the sandbox to see how these systems would work. And after a review and survey of the faculty and a review of the systems with our IT, we have selected the Brightspace system as our next learning management system. So we would like to begin a contract with them that's over $265,000 for the next 5 years so that we can begin the integration this spring, allow some faculty to move to the system in fall and be ready for full implementation in fall of 25.
So just two questions. One, Robin, assume again we've met all the requirements we need to meet for procurement.
Yes.
And then my only other question is, I assume the IT department has been engaged and is very comfortable with our ability to use the system and connect it to our systems.
Yes, they've been involved.
Mm-hmm. With that, I couldn't be happier to see Moodle go away. So, can I get a motion to approve this resolution to engage on the new learning management system?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Kiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
That's the end of my report.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will now call on Trustee Elam to give the student trustee report.
Good morning, CSU faculty, staff, and the members of the Board of Trustees. On behalf of SGA, we would like to thank the Department of Student Activities for hosting and curating events that has kept our students here on campus engaged socially, academically, and professionally throughout the semester. Just to highlight a few events, we had our events such as our Spirit Day, the LRC hosted their Latino Hispanic Heritage Months, Campus Activities Board hosted their Fall Festival, InterVarsity hosted several events that were geared towards building community and diversity on campus. Our SGA had their inauguration where the elected members were sworn into their positions. Our Career Development Center hosted several of resume and career building workshops and internship opportunities and partnered with CSU for our annual career fair. Lastly, we had our holiday Thanksgiving dinner and tree lighting ceremony. Thank you, DOSA, for your continuous efforts and support to our campus. And I also would like to highlight and congratulate two of our fraternities here on campus. Congratulations to my chapter, the Nu Delta chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, on gaining 5 new brothers to the yard. Also to the Beta Omicron chapter of Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated on gaining 3 new members. Keep up the good work. In addition to this, happy Founders Day to the men of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Congratulations to 117 years of developing leaders, promoting brotherhood and academic excellence while service in the communities. Lastly, we are towards the end of our fall semester. Let's continue to finish strong and push toward the mark as we close out this semester. CSU students that are in need of any assistance academically, please do not hesitate to reach out to your resources such as the Learning Assistance Center, your academic advisors, and or your professor. Thank you, and this concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Trustee Elam?
I have one question for Trustee Elam. I understand that the campus chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha received some regional awards.
Yes.
Is that right?
So we had districts back in November. So we received Chapter of the Year, College Brother of the Year, College Neophyte of the Year, and we were the first recipient chapter to receive My Brother's Keeper's Award.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice.
Terrific. Any other questions? Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we're going to move on to intercollegiate athletics and call on Dr. Monique Carroll, our athletic director, who I believe has some good news for us.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just to give a quick recap of where we are athletically, we've wrapped up our fall seasons for cross country. We had 5 men and women compete at NCAA regionals this year. Our volleyball team had the second winning season in our program history and was invited to the postseason tournament. It wasn't the NCAA tournament, but it was the NIVC tournament. We did lose in the first round to Drake, but it was a tremendous game that those athletes competed in. The next sport that we had, our women's soccer program, our head coach was hired August 1st, and for those that know soccer, that's the day our student athletes reported back, and he's the winningest coach in our program history this year. And our men's soccer team qualified for the Ohio Valley Conference Championships this year, finished fifth in the conference. So all of our competitive success, we're trending in the right direction. We'll find out about our academic success here in a couple more weeks, but just really excited about where the program is going.
Congratulations.
With that being said, the resolution we'd like to present to you today is about conference alignment. Just a quick history, you can see on this screen all of the affiliations that we have had in our departmental history, including most recently being NCAA Division I Independent. Our last full membership invitation was from the WAC Athletic Conference. And we departed that in 21-22. We were paying $120,000 a year annually to be in that conference, in addition to an entry fee. A snapshot of where we are: 3 sports in the Ohio Valley Conference, 2 sports in the Horizon League, and the rest competed independent or currently competing as independents. The Northeast Conference has issued us a membership invitation. They are headquartered in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and these are the members that will be in that conference starting in fall 2024. The scope of the resolution that we're presenting today is for outright membership for all of our 15 NCAA Division I sports. Kind of how we got here today was a lot of engagement with the presidents and with the commissioner of that conference. They did have a meeting where the outcome of their meeting on November 27th, they did issue us a letter of invitation and a contract for full membership. The financial terms are listed here. The annual membership fee, I do want to highlight, is $40,000. So if you heard me talk about the WAC fee of $120,000, $40,000. And we do have some termination fees that we will have to process, and we've been working with legal affairs and outside counsel to have those contracts reviewed. And so with no further ado, I would like to present that to the board to approve the contract for full membership into the Northeast Conference. Any questions?
Did I see in there that the entry fee is $500,000, but it's paid over 5 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions for Dr. Carroll?
I would like to point out, first of all, Dr. Carroll has been with us slightly over 1 year. Is that right?
Yes.
And the program has grown in an amazing way through her leadership. She has been promoted to vice president at the time of her annual review. She has been an incredible leader and has led us to this opportunity. I had the opportunity to have 2 meetings, not one, but 2, with the presidents of the NEC, and I was really thrilled to see the commitment to equity, diversity, and inclusion from the presidents. They host president events and student events that are devoted to this topic. They're also very singularly focused, in addition to competitive sports, but also focused on academic excellence among their students. I think this is a right size for Chicago State.
Terrific. All right, any other questions? Any questions? All right, with that, can I get a motion to approve the resolution to join the Northeast Athletic Conference?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Kiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so as you know, we've been adding to the agenda a segment called Did You Know? So we can learn different surprising things in our on campus, and today it's being presented by Dr. Kelly Norman Ellis. So welcome, Dr. Ellis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was
late coming up to the table because I was checking emails from my students back there. We're always on.
Definitely, especially around exam time.
Oh, my gosh. I am Kelly Norman Ellis. I've been teaching here at Chicago State for about 25 years. I just started when I was like 15. Before that, I taught at Kentucky State University and Middle Tennessee State and the University of Kentucky, as well as Upward Bound programs and the Kentucky Governor School for the Arts. So I've been doing this a while. It is one of the loves of my life, teaching, particularly here at Chicago State. My students are some of the loves of my life, and I'm sure that some of the folks sitting here would agree that in many respects they are, our students are. I wanted to talk to you today just about what I do and what many of us do here at Chicago State in our classrooms and outside. This last week, I went to my hometown, Jackson, Mississippi, and spoke at Jackson State about teaching in the humanities and the arts. And my life at Jackson State, I grew up on its campus, Jackson State and Tougaloo. My mama's people are Tougaloo people. My stepfather's people are Jackson State people. But I grew up there. My great-grandmother was a dean at Jackson State. My grandfather taught there for 35 years. My great-aunt taught there. My great-uncles taught there. My aunts went to school there and stayed in the dormitories. As a matter of fact, I got a memory came back to me of being sneaked in the dorm as a little girl. They would bring me on the weekends and hide me from the house mother, give me potato chips. So I grew up on campuses. My mother's a professor as well. So DNA, it's in me. I am a teaching artist. I'm a poet. I write all kinds of things, but poetry is my first voice. Maybe in the last 5 years, I've started writing poems to my students, and I read them to my students. The name of the poems usually starts Saturday class and Gwendolyn Brooks, or Saturday class and Zora Neale Hurston. And I named them Saturday class because since about, maybe 30 years, I've been teaching on Saturdays, whether it was Upward Bound programs or here. We had a really robust Saturday college when I first started here at Chicago State, and we still have classes on Saturday. So I want to talk just a little bit about how I came to teach on Saturdays, and then I want to read a couple of poems, if that's okay, for my students. So I was a graduate student at the University of Kentucky. I was an adjunct at Kentucky State, and I was teaching Upward Bound on Saturday mornings at Kentucky State. I had too many jobs, but hey, we all do. And my task was to work with 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. We had an hour for each group, and I went in there with my little handouts on grammar and sentence structure. And you know what they did? They beat on the radiators, and they beatboxed, and they laughed, and the director walked in while I was teaching and looked at me like, you know, what's happening here? So for about 2 weeks, I didn't know what to do. And one Saturday afternoon, after coming in from teaching and sitting on my couch and crying and saying these kids don't care about prepositional phrases and subject-verb agreement, what am I going to do? I realized I was staring at my bookshelf. These students were mostly black students from Kentucky, from Louisville and Lexington. And I looked at those books and I thought, how did I learn to write? How did I learn to write? By reading. So I went to my bookshelf. I took my boyfriend at the time's duffel bag. He had a huge duffel bag, and I filled it with books. Hurston and Walker and Richard Wright and County Cullen and Claude McKay and Nikki Finney and Haki Mahabudi and Leroy Jones, anybody I could fit in the bag. Essence magazines, Ebony magazines, Black Enterprise magazines, Emerge magazine, remember Emerge? Emerge magazine, anything that they could read for an hour. I figure if they read for 1 hour on a Saturday morning, it would be okay. And so I made my husband throw the duffel bag in the trunk of the car. I dragged it into the classroom. They all looked at me like, what is happening? But I said, here are the rules. You can read for an hour any of these books or magazines. I can help you with your English homework or an essay. That's it. And it was like one of those teaching movies where the director comes in, looks around, and says, they're all quiet. They're working. They were reading. And they were reading stuff they wanted to read. Two examples, I had two young men who, I had an anthology called Black Voices.
Yes.
And they opened it up, and they were copying out poems by hand, Claude McKay. And I said, you know, I can make a copy of that, Xerox it for you. No, ma'am, this is the way I want to do it. And I let them do it. Of course, some of my books turned up missing at the end, and that's okay.
Yes,
it's your book now.
Yes,
Nikki Giovanni is yours now. Mm-hmm. Zora Neale Hurston is yours now. I can get another book. That was the beginning of me teaching on Saturdays, and it became a kind of sacredness about those days, because not only were they learning, I was learning. I was learning how to teach. I was learning about my own humanity, my empathy, and I was trying to create those things with them. And that extended to my work here at Chicago State, teaching writing and literature, all kinds of literature, African-American literature, African literature, women's literature, all the things. Anytime I can get a book in somebody's hands, I'm happy. So I wanted to read you two poems. If I go over, somebody, Sandman, come get me, pull me off, because I could talk about this all day. I wanted to read a poem called Popsicles, and it's from a memory I have of teaching poetry, writing, and on a warm day right before the end of the spring semester, taking the students right out here in the middle of campus, and we sat on the grass and we wrote poems, and I threw out writing prompts. So this is called Popsicles. Deja wrote a poem about popsicles. When her mama got her food stamps, she bought a box of popsicles for her three daughters. It was a spring day when I took the poetry class outside to write. Deja sat in the grass and wrote about the bliss of banana and cherry popsicles. She said she and her sister gorged on the sticky ice outside in the sun. After Deja shares her poem with the class, she tells me she lost her sister. I'm so sorry, I say. When did she pass? I don't know, she says. I lost her. One day when she was 19, she walked out the back door and we never saw her again. I still look for her everywhere. Deja says she loved cherry popsicles. That memory stayed with me because we think about our students and what we do and, you know, sort of the technical aspects that we're teaching them and the skills, but they are people with stories and voices. And the work that I've seen on television lately about Black women being the victims of crime in our city, that Deja wrote that, that had to have been 15 years ago.
Wow.
Right? And to think she never saw her sister again, but the memory of those popsicles, it always stayed with me, and I found that I've written in my journal about Deja. And if I could read that to her now, I would. This next poem is a little longer, but It's about teaching Saturday mornings during the pandemic on the computer virtually. And let me tell you, that was a whole new learning experience for me. But we, at the time, read a poet named Ross Gay, who wrote about a fig tree. And so that's the name of the poem. Saturday Morning Poetry Seminar, Ross Gay and the Figs. I walk the dog on a fall morning. It is 7:30, and my hands are stiff with beginning arthritis. Barking dogs and haughty squirrels run the neighborhood. A flurry of cardinals take flight in our yard, and I think about Ross Gay and the virtual poetry seminar I am teaching at 9 a.m. I have chosen Ross's prayers for a gloomy pandemic Saturday. When the time comes, the students log in one by one. The chat box says, someone is typing. The good mornings flutter down until class begins. Before every class, I say, just breathe. They are so jittery with pandemic learning. Let's talk about Ross and fig trees and gratitude, I say. We watch him read on the YouTube video. He is tall and brown and he smiles a lot. He reminds me of the trees he writes about, tall and leggy. He poets about orchards and bees and sharing figs from a bursting tree. He is a Pied Piper. The chat box is quiet. And finally, China types. This is about community, and the tree is the magnet that pulls them. True, I said. So why does he say the fig tree is an immigrant? Keisha writes, because somehow it is growing far from where it would normally grow. Yes, I say. What about when he says this moment is happening in a city that has murdered its own people? They are quiet. No fluttering in the chat box this time. Have you heard of MOVE, I say? What is MOVE, China types? I tell them about the people and the children and the bombs, about the black mayor in the city of brotherly love who burned alive black families named Africa. I tell him about Sonia Sanchez's elegy. I tell them to read Lucille Clifton's poem. The chat box is filled with, what? Huh? I say yes. The ellipses in the chat box bounces up and down. Does this change how you read the poem, I say? They are quiet. Ross has planted a seed. I wait, then ask, is this joy still unabashed? Yes, they flutter. There is still the sharing of the figs, Leonetta writes. So this is the opposite of the bombs, right? I say, what is the opposite of grief? There is more quiet. Keisha says, joy? Figs are joy. Chantel writes, I would love to see his garden. Aside, Ross Gay is also a farmer. You think he loves dirt? Probably, I say. Leonetta says, yes, I love dirt too. The women in the class think he is so fine with his long arms and legs. I say, okay, settle down. They are laughing now. Saturday class is for this kind of love. Before we go, they ask about the new puppy, tell me to take turmeric for my tender joints. The goodbyes flutter in the chat box. It is afternoon now, and the puppy sleeps. The curtains are open and the sun spotlights falling dust specks. My eyes are heavy, and I have feasted on figs.
Wow.
That's what I do.
Thank you,
Dr. Thank you.
That was beautiful and engaging, and we thank you for your talent and for sharing that talent with our students for so many years. They are blessed, and we are blessed to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't want you to get up yet because you're speaking my language, right? You're talking about reading and writing, and that's my language, and I love it. And as you ticked off the different authors, immediately my favorites came to mind. So The Gilded Six Bits, If I Must Die, Nikki Giovanni, I wrote a good omelet. You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about, right?
yeah.
All of those came to mind, and then you started talking about planting and seeds, and then I wanted to know if you introduced them to seed folks, and so I've got to now email you and become your friend so that we can talk books yeah. and writing and the love of that, and bird by bird.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got to talk about that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I love this.
I'm in the yeah. midst, we're in the midst of purging things from our house right now because we're going to sell the house. And my husband keeps walking in the room looking at my books like this. And I'm like,
don't
you know,
do that.
Yeah. Let's not do this right now, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to give me time to purge books. And make sure they go to the right people. The right
oh,
place.
I would love to come over. Although my family would probably say, don't let me do it. Because I've got
threatened many times, don't bring any more books in his house.
Yes, yes.
Impossible.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
I know.
This is a hard act to follow here.
Sheesh.
I'm sorry.
Top that.
I apologize. We got to talk about the finance and audit committee.
Oh, goodness.
So I'm turning it over to Trustee David, the chair of our finance and audit committee, for their report, because we so want to hear it now.
Thank you. And I will say I am a former, I was an English major, so this was completely beautiful. Thank you, thank you. And I don't know how we're going to follow this call, but we're gonna try. We're going to make this riveting. I don't know what we're going to do here. So I call on Nicole Latimer-Williams, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Financial Operations, to present the Financial Operations Report and two resolutions.
Great morning. Hold on. Let me just get the voice down. Great morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If we can do anything about how this comes up next time. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
We'll work on, see what you can talk to Teresa. She might be able to.
Yeah, change that agenda around.
I have two resolutions for the board consideration. One is regarding our IT staffing and professional services contract. This is to facilitate acquisition of temporary staffing and specialized professional services and ensuring continued efficiency, security, innovation for CSU Information Services Department. This contract aims to provide the necessary human resources to effectively manage and enhance the critical mission applications and data center infrastructure here on campus. Also to ensure alignment with industry standards and best practices, which is being led by our fearless CIO, Donna Hart. The request for funds will be allocated judiciously. We sent out over 50 requests for information to vendors. Successfully, we got back 33 responses, and 75% of those responses were from BEP vendors. So we're very excited to go through this process. The request for funds will be allocated judiciously to secure expertise required to address university immediate IT needs, thereby fortifying the technical foundation for the institution. We are requesting the board to authorize CSU to establish a contractual vendor relationship over a three-year period not to exceed $2.6 million.
Are there any questions from the trustees? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion to approve the Information Technology Staffing Resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes, Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Elam.
Yes.
Trustee Kiara.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zopp.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Please continue with your final resolution.
The final resolution is regarding our emergency food service contract. September 1st, the university was approved to establish an emergency contract with our current vendor, Love Leafy Bean. The estimated cost for this vendor's services was $631,500, and it was primarily to secure food services for our students who were residing in our dorms. The campus has begun an RFP process for a permanent selection of a food vendor. We have presented the RFP to the state procurement officer for review prior to posting to the bulletin. The projected value of the meal plan over the academic year is $2.5 million. And that is based on full residence hall, full capacity activity at the highest meal plan option available for our students. The proposal today is to seek another 3-month approval to continue with Love Leafy Bean as our emergency contract vendor while we secure the awarding of the RFP to be sometime in March, in time for the March board meeting.
All right. Are there any questions or comments from the trustees? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the emergency food vendor resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. This ends the Finance and Audit Committee report.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to call on Robin Hawkins, our Associate Vice President and Senior Associate General Counsel, to discuss some amendments to the governing board rules and regulations.
Thank you very much. The governing board policies were changed in July 2023. Upon review, the university is asking for a modification of two sections. Article 4, Section C, which is administrative affairs, which would permit the president to enter into emergency contracts under specific circumstances as defined in the board regs without obtaining the approval of the board. This is restoring information that had been amended in the July 2023 regulations. The second section that would be is requested to be modified is Article 2, Section A, Subsection 3, which pertains to the hiring of Level 1 employees. And at this time, the board is requested to restore the president's authority to create, eliminate, or make significant modifications to a Level 1 employee's contract with the university without approval of the board. Are there any questions?
Questions? All right. May I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
And sorry, I said a resolution. I've said amendment to the governing board rules and regulations. I have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
All right, Ms. Bates, will you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Okay, next is the report from the foundation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I could have the next slide, please. So it's been a busy quarter for the foundation, and I'll go into these in a little bit more detail, but I just want to say that the foundation is close to fully staffed, and I feel like the progress of the foundation is evident in the goals and our progress that I'm about to share. From a corporate and foundation standpoint, we are going to finish somewhere around 972,000 by the end of this quarter. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a bit in terms of some of our new awards that have come in. Also from an alumni, staff, and individual standpoint, we've already raised 75 towards our 100K goal, which is great news. And then in terms of major gifts, for now we're at 50,000. But as everyone knows, because everyone participated in the dinner, we have a $100,000 major gift that'll be coming in January, the anonymous donor match that I mentioned at the dinner. And last but not least, we had a fabulous first-gen scholarship gala. We had a record-breaking fundraising of $582,000. Our budgeted goal was 420. I do think that the anonymous donor gift did a lot to drive that, but we also were able to start earlier. We had a lot of new funders, and we just really had a really successful dinner. I also would like to highlight that we had 100% participation from this board, and so I just want to thank you for your support and engagement with our dinner. I'm really grateful for all that you did to help us have a successful year.
You are welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. But truly, thank you to the board. To have 100% support is outstanding, and I cannot thank all of you enough.
And so we had about 400 guests who came to the dinner this year, and I want to make sure that you save the date for next year. We'll be back at the Garrity, which I think was a great venue. Mm-hmm. We'll be there on September the 27th of 2024. So from a corporate and foundation standpoint, we've had a really good quarter with corporate and foundation giving. The Vivo Foundation awarded us $250,000 over 2 years to support both Rise Academy as well as our sophomore academies. That one is particularly special because our initial ask was actually 150. So that's great news that they gave us an additional $100,000. We also received $2,500 from Verizon to support digital equity. They also, they also came in as a sponsor of the gala for the first time, so it's great to see them as a new funder among our ranks. As Provost Roundtree mentioned, we also received $40,000 for our dual enrollment programming, and we also received $50,000 for the College of Business, and that will support scholarships for participants in one of our capstone courses within the College of Business. We also received $150,000 over 2 years from the Circle of Service Foundation for academic advising. We received an additional $15,000 from the Travis Family Fund. And I actually met that program officer for the first time at the gala this year. So it was really great to meet her, and I think that it was good to meet her because I think just having some FaceTime with her probably helped her think about us for additional funds that they had available. So that brings their total to 115 for the year that they've done to support Rise Academy. We also received $102,500 from the Joyce Foundation for PBI advocacy. Our initial ask to them was $70,000, and because they really wanted to support the work and make sure that our budget was fully funded, they gave us $102,500, and they also made the connection for us to the Crown Family Foundation, who gave us the other 50. So our entire budget for that work is funded for this year. We also received $25,000 from Walgreens for the College of Pharmacy. And what is not on here is that the Kaplan Family Foundation also renewed its 2-year support for general operating funds in the amount of $60,000. So it's been a really busy, really great Q2 from a corporate and foundation standpoint. We also have quite a few pending proposals that are in the pipeline. The foundation partnered with the School of Continuing Education to submit a $200,000 proposal to the Kendrell Family Foundation to offer cybersecurity training at the 79th and Cottage location. We also submitted a proposal to Google for $50,000 in support of Rise Academy. The school of the group of special education, they have a $50,000 pending proposal, research proposal with the Spencer Foundation. We also have a pending proposal with Discover for scholarships for the School of Business. And then we also have a pending proposal to Nordstrom for $15,000 in support of the dual enrollment program. Partnerships that are in progress include, we had a meeting recently with the Lumina Foundation, and they're interested in getting a discussion draft around us around potential areas of support, so more to come on that. But we're hoping to secure support from them in 2024. We also are in discussions with Chicago Community Trust to fund our 95th Street redevelopment work, and they've already given us the number of $200,000 that they're looking to support. We're just doing some diligence on our end around how we would use those funds towards the project. And then upcoming meetings that I have include Comcast and Relativity. Those are both for renewals. Comcast is for the prep program, and Relativity will be for Rise Academy. And then we have a meeting coming this week with Spencer Foundation to talk about other ways that they can support the university. We are also having a great year in terms of board engagement. Our overall total give get right now is $245,000. Our total give for last year, for the entire year, was around $170,000. So we're already having a really great year from an engagement standpoint. And 75% of the board has either given or solicited support for the foundation. So I'm really confident that we'll have close to, if not 100% participation from the board for this year as well. And with that, I'd actually like to present a resolution to add two new board members to the foundation board. President Scott, our chair, John Roback, and I met with both of these candidates and think that they would be a great addition to the board. Andre Baker is an executive director with JP Morgan Chase and has been a longtime supporter of Chicago State University. He's led the support not only of the gala from Chase, but also support for our Center for Workforce Equity. He does not have board experience, but we think that this would be a great opportunity and that he'll really do well in the role. The other person is Jason Mercer, who is a principal at Cleveland Avenue. And thanks to Chair Zopp, he came to us because of his investment expertise. I had shared with her and with Trustee David that the investment committee is one area of growth for the foundation. Right now we have a committee of four people, but really just one person that has investment expertise. And she's in her final term. So we're really looking to beef up the investment committee over the next 2 years so that she can both have some help and also groom a potential new chair and other people to take over that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add anything, President Scott?
Sure. We're pleased with the interest of these two individuals in joining our foundation board. As Melanie mentioned, Andre Baker was critical in helping us achieve status with JP Morgan Chase, and he was the lead sponsor for the gala last year, mm-hmm. and having secured that funding from Chase. So I'm happy to see. He brought so many relationships to Chicago State from Chase, including now he's probably unintentionally mentoring one of our students who he met at the gala, Veda Williams, who awesome. Learned through Braven how to network. So now he is Andre has taken him on as a mentee, and Jason has always expressed a strong interest in not only supporting Chicago State but supporting our students. So we're pleased that these two gentlemen are interested. Enjoying our foundation board.
Any questions? Can I get a motion to approve the resolution supporting Andre Baker and Jason Mercer to join the Chicago State Foundation Board?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Oh, sorry. Call the roll.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Elam.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you.
And the last thing I just wanted to mention is just a few things about our board members. Actually, this is both in relation to a board member and a former CSU trustee, but 63rd and Harper was renamed after Reverend Dr. Leon Finney Jr., who is the father of Chicago State Foundation board member Kristen Finney Cook. So I just wanted to highlight that that occurred in the last quarter. And then another one of our board members, Michael Harris, he was named a 2023 Business Leader of Color with Chicago United at their dinner last month. So great to see our foundation and former trustees in the news. And that concludes my report.
Well, you've had a great quarter, and really it's terrific to see the foundation doing so well. It's critical, the support's critical, obviously, as you know, for the university. But we also know that really this getting this foundation up and running and stable and to the point of raising almost $600,000 at our gala, having a quarter where you have all those foundations coming back in and supporting is really tremendous, and building your board with the right kind of talent. So congratulations, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. I echo all of that.
Congratulations. Yeah, you know, yes. The former chair of the board of the foundation might has an opinion about that.
Great yes. job. You're doing wonderful work. Just really, I know when you came in, there was a lot you had to rebuild. So thanks so much. Thank you so much, and really great job.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to convene into adjourn, sorry, into executive session, and we have to discuss some employment and internal control matters. So I move to move to executive session. May I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll?
Yes, Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And reconvene and we're back.